Within just minutes of boarding this boat, these kids sound more like marine biologists than a bunch of sixth graders on a field trip.
We're doing a dissolved oxygen test from the top sample.
I'm rinsing the probe with the DIH2O.
We're testing the water for acidity levels.
These 11 and 12-year-olds are taking a science cruise aboard the W.G. Jackson, a research vessel from Grand Valley State University. Each year, this boat takes over 200 of these trips, giving Michigan students a hands-on learning opportunity. During the course of their 2.5-hour cruise, this group will collect and analyze scientific data about the water. Teacher Nell Belding says the idea really isn't to turn the kids into scientists, but to give them a better understanding of the Great Lakes ecosystem.
They live in a special part of the whole world, and they need to know that and understand it. And I think by coming on board, they get to understand it.
The students begin their journey by taking samples from an inland lake that feeds Lake Michigan.
Now we'll let this down. Just so it's under the surface.
They're collecting water from both the surface and the bottom, as well as taking sediment samples. In the boat's onboard laboratory, they test the water for clarity, conductivity, and acidity. Their results will be added to a database compiled from all the science cruises the vessel makes. Then teachers around Lake Michigan can use that information in the classroom. Meanwhile, out on the deck, onboard instructor Chuck Vanderlaan dumps a pile of mud and muck into a box with a screen bottom. A circle of students kneel over the sediment sample, spraying it with a hose to uncover creatures that live in the bottom of the lake.
Grab all those zebra mussels.
Grab all the clams and stuff.
Gross.
Vanderlaan calls this group of kids critter pickers.
Okay, what we're looking for here are what we call scuds. They're little amphipods.
Right there, Nathan, look at that.
As the students carry out their tests on these first samples, the boat heads into the open waters of Lake Michigan. Along the way, teacher Nell Belding points to the spot where a river feeds the lake.
See, there's almost a perfect line. It's real light on one side and real dark on the other. Okay, that's where the river's coming right into the lake. It's called the plume. You're going to be crossing it just a minute, and it's almost a definite line in the water. It's awesome.
Each year, over 6,000 students from fourth grade to college take hands-on science cruises on this vessel. But this year, the lessons will be extended. The boat is on a summer-long 9-city tour where both students and the public will be invited on board. The goal of the tour is to help people understand their connection with the lake, even if they live miles from the shore. Dr. Janet Vail is with Grand Valley State University's Water Resource Institute.
We all live in watersheds, and what we do in our watershed does impact the big lake. And so many people don't make that connection explicitly, and we're hoping that when they do go back, they recognize that if they're dumping things into their streams, where do those streams go? They go into the big lake. If you're dumping into groundwater, the groundwater could move towards a stream or a river and impact eventually the large lake.
Throughout the cruise, the students have conducted a battery of tests and carefully studied the creatures they found using a microscope connected to a TV screen. Now that they're in Lake Michigan, they'll repeat the sampling and testing process they did at the inland lake. Then they compare and contrast the data. In one of the tests, the students match up the colors of the water samples with a standardized scale, ranging from clear and blue to a cloudy shade of green. They learn that the color of the water is an indicator of the lake's productivity. The greener the water, the more plants and animals live there, like plankton and algae.
The color of the water was a 20 on a scale, and then when we moved into Lake Michigan, it was a 5 on a scale.
At first glance, this program might seem a little too technical for a group of sixth graders, but it seems to be working. The kids are making connections between the data they've compiled and the hands-on experience they're getting on the lake.
I noticed that the warmer it is, the more oxygen there is, and then the colder it goes, it's less oxygen. But then I also noticed that the water gets less clear as you go further down. The bottom is less clear than the top.
But hard science only goes so far. What really captures the kids' attention on this cruise is a critter called a bloodworm. Bloodworms are the larvae of an aquatic insect. They get their name from their reddish color.
Well, they had a head and a tail with two little separate, flipper things.
Since bloodworms don't need much oxygen to live, they're found in mucky areas at the bottom of the lake. The students learn that finding bloodworms in a sediment sample indicates there's little oxygen in the sampling area. But the name bloodworm itself sparked the imagination of some of the kids, and soon a rumor started floating around.
Like, I found out that if it were to, like, stay on you, it'd suck your, like, blood and stuff like that.
The W.G. Jackson just finished tours in several Michigan cities, including Petoskey, Traverse City, and Charlevoix. Throughout the rest of the summer, the boat will visit several other ports, including Milwaukee, Racine, and Chicago. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm Wendy Nelson in Muskegon, Michigan.